This is Dr. Meg Hayworth, and you're listening to Life Lessons from Your Soul at BigMediaUSA.com. You can find me on the web at drmeg.com, DocTorMeg.com, or just call me at 310-306-9127. Today I have in the studio with me Dr. Colby Foreman from Barron University, and we've been talking about Barron University and their mission, and we talked in the last segment about who's a good student, and he's got lots of diverse individuals, healers that it sounds like it's great for healers too, that because to me it sounds like it's a great combination of the personality and the soul, that soul of the healer having that the personalities and the human need to integrate human idea.
I would think so.
It's and degree.
The person is really called to heal or help.
Yeah.
I had the honor of meeting His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, for the work we were doing.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to ask him one question. And I said, to what does His Holiness really feel truly makes a healer?
Yes.
And he said, what I feel. He said, just really one who in their soul is called to heal.
Mm-hmm.
He said, not necessarily someone with special powers or something like that, but someone who is called to make a difference.
Yes.
Yeah. And he gave an example of Mother Teresa, who was actually an ordinary person who brought themselves into extraordinary conditions in Calcutta and that kind
yes.
of thing. And that's when the human soul expands
mm-hmm.
to meet the challenge that it's there to do.
Yes.
You know, and that's what BU is about. It's really about finding a space for the good guy or the good woman or the good person.
Yes.
Who really is called to make a difference. It's much less oriented towards what your grades are. In fact, a couple mm-hmm. days ago, I interviewed one person from MIT who had stellar grades and an amazing master's degree, and another person who actually was a feng shui healer. And she goes, but I'm a healer. I'm not just feng shui. I help people with cancer, and I set up environments where they can heal. That's what I look for, is someone who will find a way
yes.
to be able to help and make a difference.
Okay. It sounds like you personally interview everybody too, huh?
Oh, yeah. I do.
To be students. That's great.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. And when I first did it, the first year, I interviewed over 180 people, and we took just under 12. We took 11.
Really? Wow.
And now, as things kind of flow better, the universe mm-hmm. is sending us more and more people that right from the beginning
uh-huh.
are the right kind of people, or the people resonating with it.
Okay. Well, great. You know, psychoneurology and integrative medicine, this is really the meat of what you all teach there.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, what is psychoneurology?
Okay. Well, psychoneurology, the simple definition is it's a drug-free alternative to traditional psychiatric and psychological approaches.
Yay, I'm all for that.
And it's mm-hmm. it's fundamentally different mm-hmm. than psychiatry or psychology or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Psychology is based on this medical model where we find something wrong. We define
yes.
as a pathology,
right.
and we work to negate the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that process we call diagnosis and treatment.
Yes.
And it was based on technology that we had, that Freud had available to him about 100 mm-hmm. years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't have me, let's say, operate on you with 100-year-old medical technology. We didn't even sterilize scalpels then, right? It'd be dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention you'd have saws and all kinds of nasty things. So.
Well, there's a number of thoughts that we had about the mind then that aren't
yeah.
true. For example, about the difference between our conscious mind and our unconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the unconscious mind doesn't process negation. If I ask you, if you're listening to this right now, don't think of a white horse.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's and the same as if I say, think of a white horse.
Yeah.
So whenever we're, unlike something where you get a cut in your skin and we can actually make that go away by closing the wound,
mm-hmm.
if we're going to bring you to a different place inside you, inside your mind,
uh-huh.
we need to redirect you. Rather than saying, don't think of a white horse or don't think about depression or et cetera, how do we make depression go away? Instead,
right.
we say, think of a golden eagle.
Mm-hmm.
We redirect you in a different direction altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, let me give you a metaphor.
Okay.
Let's say you come to me and you say, Dr. Foreman, I want to change this thing about my life. I don't know. Let's say you want to be passionate about learning. I've
mm-hmm.
never had something so simple. But if you did, And let's say I say, okay, well, there's this canoe here, and where you want to get to is this mountain. Mm-hmm. All right. You say, well, do I just row the canoe towards the mountain? Uh-huh. In my traditional psychological practice, I would have said, no, no, no. We have to find out why you're not at the mountain anyway. I mean, we have to go down these rapids over here first. And you go, but that's the opposite direction of the mountain. And I say, yeah, that's true. But we have to figure out what the blocks are, because the old mm-hmm. theory was the only reason you're not where you want to be is uh-huh. because of the blocks you have getting you there. Uh-huh. Well, I've got news for you. You could run east, be running east looking for a sunset. You could have no blocks. You still got a problem because uh-huh. you don't have a strategy that mm-hmm. really teaches you how to get there. Okay. So let's say we're going down those rapids, and during that time, we go through your past, and we figure out, your second grade teacher told you you were stupid. Mm-hmm, no mm-hmm. wonder you're not motivated. I understand.
It's all clear now, right?
Right. And while we create, and as a good therapist, you'd say, wow, you're really good, because I would be coming up with these issues
yes.
that maybe you weren't aware of. And the problem is, if we leave you in the middle of therapy, it is almost like walking away from a patient on an operating table and not closing them, because now you have all these issues and you have no ways to deal with them.
Exactly. I refer that to that as the hamster wheel mm-hmm. that they get on around and around and around.
It's a negative cybernetic loop. It's another technical way to say it. But yeah, we just keep running.
I like that.
I like hamster wheel better, actually.
They just keep running around with the same thoughts over and over and over again until they're released.
Right.
But go ahead, tell us more about.
So they get, let's say if you do stick with that therapy in the average psychotherapeutic relationship, not mm-hmm. all, but the average can be about 6 years long.
Yes.
Let's say you get to the bottom of those rapids. There isn't a lot of skill sets mm-hmm. That are not negation oriented. In other words, there are not a lot of skill sets that teach you how to go to get what you want or to have it. Because the idea was, well, we've eliminated the blocks. But like I said, unless you actually learn an actual strategy, unless you have a resource.
Right, right.
So our approach in psychoneurology is different. Rather than diagnosis, we focus on something called calibration.
Oh, okay.
Calibration is, where are you now relative to where you want to be?
Okay.
So if you're going to book an airline mm-hmm. reservation and mm-hmm. you say, I want to get to Texas, mm-hmm. what's the next question she's going to ask? She's going to ask, well, what's your point of departure?
Right, right.
That is what we look at. We look at your point of departure relative to where you want to go, mm-hmm. not relative to putting it in a box and calling it a diagnosis. The reason why we have virtually 100% success rate with what would be called ADD or what would be called ADHD or OCD or even schizophrenia now, we're just starting to get into uh-huh. that field more. But a lot of the people we've done work or learn from, like Milton Erickson or mm-hmm. Richard Bandler, were considered to have unprecedented success rates with individuals diagnosed as schizophrenics or uh-huh. other pathologies, is because we're not being limited by that diagnosis. You see, 100 mm-hmm. years ago, there were 300 things that were called cancer.
Yes.
And so once they painted it with that brush, they tried treating it the way they treat all cancer, uh-huh. and they ignored all the other symptoms and the things that were going on, and that's why those individuals died. Uh-huh. So what we do is we do a process called calibration, where we pay attention where you are mm-hmm. relative to where you want to go.
Okay.
And that is the only way you can get rid of a lifelong phobia, or the reason why our success rate is so high is because we're literally teaching the nervous system how to do something.
Okay. And you do that with a number of different techniques that you use?
Yeah. Techniques we call protocols.
Okay.
But the simplest way to explain it is teaching your brain and your nervous system how to do something differently.
Okay.
So, for example, I was working with a young man who was on Zoloft, Celexia, Prozac, Buspar, Wellbutrin.
Oh my goodness.
He's 11 years old. That was his cocktail. And he was having panic and anxiety attacks in the morning so bad that at times he would actually vomit up blood.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And so his psychiatrist was someone who I'm familiar with, a friend, a colleague. And we were discussing this. And mm-hmm. after the second session of working with him, well, basically, let me backtrack for a moment. I'm not interested in necessarily identifying his pathology. I'm identifying in what we want. And what we want is for this boy to be able to go through his life, go to school, and feel good inside and feel safe inside.
The way
he did when he was home. But mm-hmm. when he would get away from his mother, he would go into massive panic.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have enough time to explain the protocols
themselves. Sure, no, that's fine.
But basically what we needed to do was help get those feelings, which is the resource of right. how good you feel when you're with your mom or when you're home and feeling safe and feeling good, mm-hmm. and help bring those resources so he's experiencing those and feeling okay. those when he's at school. And because the brain is wired to move towards pleasure and away from pain, uh-huh. if you give it an alternative, a resource, it will always take it.
Okay.
You see, the reason why, let's say I worked with battered women for about 7 years, and the reason why that particular woman is going with different men that always batter her, or mm-hmm. alcoholic abusive men, let's say, or, you know, if you're a man, the other way around.
Right.
Is because, not because there's something wrong and you need to get rid of it. They've spent 15 years in AA or in different mm-hmm. resources talking about the pathology.
Right.
They needed to introduce a new resource. If you add a new resource to that person, mm-hmm. then they'll make different choices. But the unconscious doesn't know how to select resources. You have to know how to install them and have the technology to do that, mm-hmm. to install a new resource. And maybe a little bit later I'll explain how that same process would be done by a Hopi shaman. Years okay. ago, 200 years ago or so.
Actually, right now it's a good time.
Okay.
we got a few minutes in the segment, so.
Okay, all right. So a good example would be one of our faculty is a man named Seeing Bear. Uh-huh. And Seeing Bear and I were speaking about this concept, and he won't teach for UCLA, and they've requested him at the East uh-huh. Meets West program, although we teach over at UCLA, but mm-hmm. he won't teach for NYU. He won't, mm-hmm. But he does teach for us. And we were talking about, because our structure is so similar. So he said, yeah. my father and my grandfather, when he was a shaman, if let's say a warrior came to him and he was afraid mm-hmm. to defend our people, what my grandfather would have done was he would seek out a hawk. And uh-huh. in psychoneurology, we'd call that a resource. And he'd seek out a hawk that had the power and the courage that he was looking for. And he would extract the life force or energy with that hawk's permission from that hawk uh-huh. and bring it into that warrior
okay.
until he could look into his eyes. We call that calibrating and see mm-hmm. that he was seeing the battle through the eyes of the hawk.
Okay.
And then he could easily, boldly go and defend our people.
Okay. It's like... the observer, or the position of the observer, being able to see the whole story, the whole thing going on, so it shifts the whole consciousness right. of.
Seeing Bear says that my grandfather would never say, "When was the first time you became afraid?"
That's
not helpful, right?
That's right.
Rather than defining, now you have fear, and let's work with it.
Yeah.
It's rather, let's add the resources to you so you can make a different choice.
Exactly. And a choice from a place of power versus the choice from weakness. And that's what you're talking about, is that in psychology, you go back to that place of weakness, that weakest moment you went through.
Right. Because it's an entirely different model, which is based on trying to get rid of something wrong. But our mind just doesn't work that way.
Okay.
The only way we can get to where we want to go is to add that resource.
Okay.
And we need to understand that. So in Sedona, this coming summit, we're going to have another shaman named Rolling Thunder, this amazing uh-huh. woman. And she is going to uh-huh. wake us up before the dawn and take us through the plant kingdom there.
Wonderful.
Of her ancestors, and show us those resources and show us how to use those things and various rituals that we do. And they work perfectly with psychoneurology.
Wonderful. Yeah, there's resources everywhere. The earth has so much to offer us. It's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So in our next segment, we're going to talk some more about Barron University and about the programs that you have there. This is Dr. Meg Hayworth, and you're listening to Life Lessons from Your Soul at BigMediaUSA.com. I'm with Dr. Colby Foreman today, and you can find him on the web at
www.bethelivingbridge.com and www.gobu.org.
Great. We'll be right back.